Cusco Cab is Bethel's largest cab company. Co-owner Naeem Shabani said the day after the city council passed the new mandates, he printed out posters detailing the rules and told all his drivers to put them up in the back seat of their cabs.
There's two posters. One is requiring passengers to wear a mask, and then the other one is the explanation for the need to show proof of a test at Alaska Airlines, proof of a negative test.
Even before the mandates were passed, Shabani says many cab drivers were already asking passengers to wear a mask. But asking strangers if they took a medical test, Shabani says cab drivers are being put in an uncomfortable position.
Now they kind of have to play driver and enforcer at the same time, and a lot of passengers coming in generally don't agree with having a cab driver enforce mandates on them.
Shabani says he's not yet heard of any confrontations between drivers and passengers who refused to show they were tested. He says he is taking his driver's word that these testing checks are happening.
I can't follow up on every single cab and cab ride to ensure that they follow this. It's very much a self-policing mandate.
Alaska Cab, Bethel's second largest taxi company, had not been following the city's new mandate at first. Co-owner Chun Chung said he had not received communication from the city about the mandate, but that he would comply now that he knew.
Nobody report for what we're supposed to do, but we're going to do it from today. We're going to tell everybody today.
Both cab company owners say the city's new mandates would only apply to a few rides per day because of the limited number of passengers who arrive at the Alaska Airlines terminal these days. Shabani says he has half the number of drivers he used to have on the road due to the general downturn in business, coupled with the health risks of COVID-19.
I mean, a lot of drivers have resigned. A lot of them have just kind of gone on a hiatus, if you will, just waiting to see if it's going to turn around.
Meanwhile, the city of Bethel has no plans, at least in the short term, to enforce the airport testing mandate. Acting City Manager Lori Strickler said she is working on plans to expand the city's airport testing incentive program instead.
We would prefer, instead of issuing citations to people, to incentivize people to comply.
Currently, the city provides $25 gift cards to local businesses if you get tested at the airport, but that's only offered on the weekend. Strickler said she wants the city to be able to provide incentives to arriving passengers on every flight during the week and is looking at different options to do so. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
The developers of the proposed Pebble Mine aired an ad on Fox News last night, and it seems to have hit home with one viewer in the White House. The ad begins by praising President Trump's regulatory reforms and ends with a direct appeal to Trump.
President Trump, continue to stand tall and don't let politics enter the Pebble Mine review process.
At 10:20 p.m., the president tweeted a statement echoing the final words of the ad. Quote, "Don't worry, wonderful and beautiful Alaska, there will be, all caps, no politics in the Pebble Mine review process," the president's tweet says. The pro-Pebble ad also highlighted sections of the environmental review saying the mine won't cause measurable harm to the salmon of Bristol Bay. Opponents of the Pebble Mine prefer the tweets of his son. Donald Trump Jr. tweeted last month that the headwaters of Bristol Bay are too unique and fragile to put at risk. Selling or giving away Alaska's state-run ferry fleet is not a viable option. That was the conclusion of the governor's Marine Highway Working Group as it deliberated recommendations on Wednesday. Chairman Tom Barrett reviewed one scenario from the Dunleavy administration's $250,000 Northern Economics Report that looked at privatization but concluded that none of the routes would be profitable. The former Coast Guard Admiral and Pipeline Services Director executive says that if the state divests from the fleet, that would be the end for the Marine Highway.
Because that means end the system fundamentally as we know it, and just let communities, let ports, let people or operators take over what they think makes sense.
The AMHS reshaping work group appointed earlier this year by Governor Mike Dunleavy is tasked with charting the fleet's future by finding efficiencies. It has until September 30th to bring its findings forward. That process is still underway, but on Wednesday, the nine-member group's chairman says they've reached consensus that the ferry system is too important for the state to just walk away.
It's not ever going to be able to be the fleet of blue canoes that existed, 25 years ago, and even the services provided and kind of the romance, the Alaska romance that goes with that. But I don't think it's our goal I don't think I could listen to some of the people and say, yeah, well, let's just trash it. We've got some hard decisions, but that's not one of them.
Earlier this month, the group held 2 days of public hearings. Alaskans testified on how they would right-size the fleet. The group is considering recommendations to reduce the fleet or routes served. It's also looking at changes in governance and management structure that would give the Marine Highway more autonomy from the executive branch. Alaska Representative Don Young has introduced legislation that would restore the census deadline to October 31st. Young said in a news release that if census takers are unable to provide a thorough and accurate census count in Alaska, then, quote, billions in federal funding will be left on the table over the next decade. We must extend the census deadline, unquote. The release goes on to say, Alaskans deserve to have their roads, schools, recreation areas, and other public services fully funded. Our field staff need more time to complete this critical task. In early August, the Census Bureau announced it would move up the census deadline to the end of September out of concerns for the coronavirus, but various advocacy and indigenous groups decried the decision, saying it would lead to a drastic undercounting of people. Then, earlier this month, a federal judge in California issued an injunction ordering the Census Bureau to stop winding down its operations until a hearing on a preliminary injunction on Thursday. 2 days after the judge's decision, the Census Bureau began halting layoffs of door-to-door census takers.
Support for KMXT's Midport is provided by Artinger's Fine Furnishings, featuring children's clothing from the Tea Collection, home spa items from Crabtree and Evelyn, and leather handbags by Dooney and Burke. Special orders of the Tea Collection clothing in your child's size always welcome at Artinger's. 486-5554.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Southeast and Kodiak crabbers haul up some of the best catches in decades. More after this.
Fish Radio is brought to you by Alaska Boats and Permits in Homer, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, online at alaskaboat.com.
Crabbers at Southeast Alaska and Kodiak are pulling up good Dungeness catches, although prices have sunk. At the Panhandle, a fleet of 192 permit holders hauled up nearly 6 million pounds of dungies during the summer fishery that ran from June through August 15th. It's one of the biggest catches of the decade. The average price to fishermen of $1.67 a pound was down from $3.01 last year. Still, the Dungeness fishery was valued at nearly $10 million at the Southeast Docks. The Dungeness fishery will reopen on October 1st, and more boats might be out on the grounds, said Adam Messmer, regional crab manager for the Department of Fish and Game at Douglas.
We do see it fluctuate when we have poor salmon years for gillnet. A lot of those guys own both permits, so with the poor salmon year, we might see a little bit of an uptick.
With the closure of the Fish and Game office in Wrangell, where many crabbers reside, Messmer advised they need to register right away at the Petersburg office.
Kind of plan ahead sooner rather than later. It's kind of a new thing not having the Wrangell office.
At Kodiak, crabbers have about 6 weeks left to go in a Dungeness fishery that's been open since May. A fleet of 25 boats are at the 2-million-pound dungey mark throughout the westward region. It's the biggest catch in 30 years, says Nat Nichols, area shellfish manager for Fish and Game at Kodiak.
And we're seeing, you know, similarly productive fishing out through the Alaska Peninsula, Sandpoint area.
Westward fishermen also are reportedly fetching well below $2 a pound. Nichols cautions that the higher catches are due in part to more horsepower on the grounds as opposed to a higher abundance of crab.
Maybe we're coming off the peak, but next year we'll tell that story.
Check out the virtual forums today and tomorrow at comfishak.com and on Facebook. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement Number 40. This announcement was issued 10 a.m. September 14th. There will be a 78-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Tuesday, September 15 to 6 p.m. Friday, September 18 in the following areas. the outer Iqaluit section of the Southwest Kodiak District. The Afognak District, except the outer Katoy and Iqaluit Bay sections, remain open until further notice, and the inner Katoy Bay section remains closed. The mainland district, the Sheraton Bay, Anton Larson Bay, Kajuyak Bay, Terror Bay, Inner Uganic Bay, Spiriton Bay, Zacher Bay, and Uyak Bay sections of the Northwest Kodiak District, the East Side Kodiak District, and the Northeast Kodiak District. As previously announced, the following areas remain open until further notice. The Outer Katoy Bay and Iqaluit Bay sections of the Afognak District, the Outer Kartlik section of the Southwest Kodiak District, the Central and North Cape sections of the Northwest Kodiak District, and the Humpy Dead Man, Cape Alitak, Alitak Bay, Mosher Bay, and Olga Bay sections of the Alitak District. Closed waters are shown on the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart and detailed in the Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations. Statistical charts, harvest strategies, and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game Office. Recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour recorder phone at 486-4559.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Thursday. It is September 17th, the year 2020. Sun rose today at 7:45. It won't set again until 8:20 this evening, giving us 12 hours and 35 minutes of glorious sunlight. That's a loss of 4 minutes and 56 seconds compared to yesterday. Looking at our local tides, we have a high tide coming up here on the east side at 2:47 this afternoon. That will be a 9-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 8:43 p.m. of minus 0.1 feet. Over on the west side, and these are Uganic Pass tides, you have a high tide coming up at 3:17 p.m., a 17-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 9:25 p.m. of minus 1.6 feet. 56 degrees right here in Kodiak. A 40% chance of rain, they're saying now. Mostly cloudy skies for the rest of the evening. Partly sunny skies tomorrow, though, with a high near 57. Southwest winds continuing to gust to 25 miles per hour, but should come down to 15 or so tomorrow afternoon. Speaking of wind, here's your synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A front will move across the Gulf this morning, a 986 millibar low at 59 degrees north, 157 degrees west, will move inland this morning, inland by Friday morning, a 1004 millibar low will move into the western Gulf Saturday morning. Your resulting weather, we do have gale warnings on both sides of the island offshore. Marmot Island to Sitkanak, we're looking at west winds to 35 knots tonight, seas building to 15 feet. For tomorrow, look for south winds to 20 knots and seas to 8 feet. Chiniak and Marmot Bays, Chiniak Bay small craft advisory through tonight, south winds to 20 knots, increase to 30 knots this afternoon, seas will build to 5 feet. For tomorrow, look for west winds at 20 knots, becoming 15 knots, seas coming down to 3 feet. For Marmot Bay, look for southeast winds at 25 knots and seas to 7 feet. For tomorrow, west winds at 25 knots, seas to 5 feet. And in the Shelikof, a gale warning tonight with south winds at 30 knots, seas building to 11 feet this afternoon. For tomorrow, look for southwest winds at 25 knots and seas to 7 feet in the Shelikof. As mentioned, West Shore Services will be testing individual sirens after installation using the Westminster chime tone. So that's what that is. The Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center board and membership will be having their meetings on Tuesday, September 22nd. It's happening 6 p.m. via Zoom or other online meeting platform. Meetings are open to the public, and due to the ongoing pandemic, board meetings will be held online via Zoom. Community members may be interested or who are interested in attending need to call Ann at 486-6171. The Port and Harbors Advisory Board will hold a meeting on Tuesday, September 22nd, next Tuesday. The meeting will begin at 12 p.m. and be held in Fisherman's Hall. It's open to the public. For more information, call the Ports and Harbor Advisory or Ports and Harbor Office at 486-8080. Crabfest Committee has selected their slogan, Retro Revival, for the 2021 Crab Festival logo and poster. Submissions should reach the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce by Monday, November 9th. For full details, go to kodiakcrabfest.com.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT, two times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.